Well, I'm excited to share some things with you this morning. We entered into 2018 with a word we felt was from the heart of God, and that this would be the year of the fog. Remember what that stood for? The year of the fog was a catchy way of saying the year of the favor of the Lord, or favor of God. The fall, favor of the Lord, or the fog, favor of God. The fog. And so the favor of God, year of the favor of God. And what I want to do is I want to just hone in a little bit more on divine favor, because after we launched out into that prophetic word, we ended up getting into different series, even though it could have been right in line with the favor of God. But I want to speak more specifically. I started last week, talk specifically about some things about God's favor that I think will really help us to learn how to walk compatibly with the favor of God. You know, you can walk compatibly with the favor of God. The favor of God is not some mysterious thing that is difficult to understand. In fact, it's very practical. We can walk compatibly with the favor of God, or we can align ourselves with God in such a way where it will release the favor and the blessing of God into our lives. God is not holding back his favor. You know, I use that verse of scripture when we receive the offering, that God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his people. God takes pleasure when his people are blessed. He takes pleasure. This is according to the word. He takes pleasure in bestowing his favor upon his people. But it's not something that just happens automatically or happens because we're a believer. Let's just reiterate a few things regarding divine favor. First of all, if you were to go into the dictionary and look up favor, in a general sense, it means to have approval, or to have the liking of someone, or the approval of someone. It means to have acts of kindness bestowed upon you that is beyond what is due, or that could be an unusual act of kindness. That would be favor. To favor means to have a special advantage or a special benefit bestowed upon you. It's out of the ordinary. It's out of what is expected. That is what the general term of favor means. The Bible talks a lot about the favor of God. The Hebrew word for favor, now let's bring it into the context of Scripture and in the context of God. The Hebrew word that is used, favor, means goodwill, kindness, or good pleasure. It's when God gives us his good pleasure, his goodwill, and his kindness. It also means, favor means to be pleased with. So favor in the context of Scripture means if God is favoring us, it means in Scripture, God is pleased with us. And when he's pleased with us, he releases his kindness upon us. So favor is always spoken in the context of God blessing us. The Bible talks about the favor of God, and the Bible also talks about the disfavor of God. If you think that you could be a believer and not have the disfavor of God, then you are in for a rude awakening. Go and read and meditate on Deuteronomy chapter 28. The chapter is broken up into two sections. One is the favor of God, and the other part is the disfavor of God. And God is speaking to his people, his covenant people. And there are certain things that we could do that can provoke the favor of God, as well as there are certain things that we can do that can provoke the disfavor of God. And so we have a lot of misconceptions in the body of Christ, because sometimes we just think that favor is a mystery. It's something that is unpredictable. We really can't figure it out. That God, you know, just sovereignly decides to favor who he wants to favor. Some people have it and some people don't. You could tell the people that got it and you could tell the people that don't. And it's just a mystery why some have it and some don't. But favor is not like that. Divine favor is not a mystery. I like to say it this way. Divine favor is provoked. It's something that we can unlock. It's something that we can provoke. It's provoked by posture, or it's provoked by our position. In other words, by saying that favor can be provoked by posture, it means that the onus is on us and not on God. You know, we're into this thing, we all would love to have a no-fault religion, right? We would all love to just put all responsibility on the creator of the universe, and we just have no say in anything. Whatever happens, happens. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, right? The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera. Does anybody know that? Come on now. Am I the only one who knows what that means? So anyway, am I that old? And so we kind of have this idea of no-fault religion, that God is sovereign. He'll do whatever he wants. We really have no choice in it. Whatever happens in our life happens because God designed for it to happen, and we have no place or play in the whole thing. It's not like that. You have more responsibility in this thing than you could think. I'm telling you right now. And when it comes to the favor of God, the onus is on you, not on God. There is a flow of favor that will be unleashed towards you, but it will take a posture. It will take a position that you take in order to have God release it. Favor is a deliberate design by God to reward you for your obedience or your actions that are pleasing to him. And this is very important that you understand this. Your actions can provoke the favor of God, and at the same time, it can provoke the disfavor of God. Also, many people think that favor is unconditional. Just because we're believers, right? Just because we got saved and we're Christians, we think that we are going to automatically have God's favor, and that's not the truth. Favor is not unconditional. It's very conditional, we could say. Do you know what is unconditional? God's love, right? Thank God his love is unconditional. He loves us all in an unconditional love. His love is equal. He loves the backslider. He loves the sinner. He loves the one that pleases him. He loves everybody unconditionally. In fact, God sends Jesus to the cross while we were against him, and it demonstrated his unconditional love for mankind. So love is unconditional, but we get this thing confused. And we try to take the favor of God and stick it into the love of God. And we try to say, because God loves us unconditionally, he'll favor us unconditionally. And that is very, very far from the truth. Favor comes to those who qualify, not God's love. His unconditional love is not contingent upon the actions of the recipient. But when we talk about the favor of God is contingent upon the actions of the recipient. They're two totally different things, and we've got to understand it. In other words, certain conditions must be met before the favor of the Lord is released into our life. So we call it the posture of favor. And so what caught my attention recently in meditating about the favor of God was this phrase that is often repeated in the scripture, and it has to do with when somebody found favor in the sight of God. Found favor in the eyes of God. And over, if you were to look up that phrase, you'll see it mentioned many times. Abraham found favor in the sight of God. Noah found favor in the eyes of God. Moses found favor in the sight of God. Joseph found favor in the eyes of God. So right off the bat, when you read that phrase, it should provoke you to think that favor is not unconditional, because it's talking about someone who found it. Not everybody will find the favor. Somebody, these people found favor. What does it mean to find favor in someone's sight? Let's get real practical. When you find favor in someone's sight, it means that someone has taken a special interest in you or taken a special liking to you. And because of this, they favored you because of the interest or the liking they take to you. So when God favors me, it means that I am living in such a way that I am pleasing to God, and God, it gets God's attention. He takes a special interest in me, or he takes a special liking to me. Now, I'll say this, this will mess with your religious spirit. This will mess with your religious spirit. God loves you, but it doesn't necessarily mean he has taken a liking to you. God loves you unconditionally, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you're pleasing to him. In fact, you can go to heaven and still not be very pleasing to God. See, that messes with people. First thing we say is that is just, I don't like that. That's just not fair. Let me tell you something. You can be a Christian, but it doesn't mean God is pleased with you. Love is equal, not favor. Favor's not equal. We all don't get the same amount of favor. We would like it that way. We all want to get a slice. Our human nature, we all want a slice of the pie. Not only do we want a slice of the pie, we all want an equal slice of the pie. Come on now. And so when we say some people got favor and some don't, people say favor ain't fair. It ain't fair because what they're saying is if God is going to give favor to one person, God should give everybody favor. And so we treat it like it's the unconditional love of God. If God gives you favor, God should give me favor. He should give us all an equal slice of the pie. We all deserve the favor of God. I mean, it sounds like socialism. Come on now. Right? We all want an equal slice of the pie, regardless of our investment, regardless of how hard we work, regardless of how much time we put in it. We all think, I mean, come on now. We all think we all should get an equal slice of the pie. Talk about an entitlement mentality. And so people, honestly, that's not fair. Be honest with you, that ain't fair. And then we got people saying, it ain't fair that I don't get an equal slice of the pie. We all should, regardless of my investment, I should get an equal slice. I mean, logic tells you that just ain't fair. Why should you get an equal slice of the pie? When I put so much more than you put nothing in and you want an equal slice of the pie, that's an entitlement spirit, baby. And so we treat favor like that. And we say favor ain't fair. Why is someone favored over there, but I'm not favored? We all should be favored. One's going to be favored. We all ought to be favored by God. It's not like that. Come on, I'll just come right out and say it. Favor ain't fair. It's not. See that? Favor ain't fair. And I'll say this too. Favor ain't free. It ain't free. It's going to cost something. So I'm going to say things, I'm going to say them strongly because I want to jerk the slack out of us. I want us to shake our head. I want us to say, well, wait, that's thought provoking. Let me think about this for a moment. Favor is not equal. The blessing of God is not equal. The love of God is equal, not favor, not favor. And so we've got to start getting the right idea about favor. And so the Bible speaks to us in the clearest of terms that God wants to release the favor of God in our life, but he's calling us to unlock it. He's calling us to unlock it by the way that we live our life. Let me tell you, the reason why David said, I have sought with my whole heart after your favor, oh God. You want to know why David said he sought with his whole heart for the favor of God? Because David knew he needed the divine favor of God in his life to live a successful, fruit-bearing life in the earth. He could not do it without the hand of God. He said, I've sought, not just casually sought, I've sought with my whole heart the favor of God. And so I want to read a verse of scripture, or a few verses, Colossians chapter 1. This is in the New Testament. So this would pertain to us, even though everything pertains to us. But some people just like the New Testament verses. Here you go. Paul writes this, we have not stopped praying for you since we heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Verse 10, then. Somebody say then. So here's what Paul's saying. Listen, we are praying day and night for you believers in Colossae. We're praying for you that God would open up your understanding. He would give you spiritual wisdom and understanding that you would know God. And then he says, because then he says, then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord. Then he said, the way you live will be pleasing to the Lord. So that tells me right there that not everybody's life as a Christian is pleasing to the Lord. He's saying, then we are praying for you so that you would receive revelation, so that you would align yourself to God, so that your conduct and the way that you live your life would be honoring and pleasing to God. So that tells us right off the bat, not everybody pleases God. Somebody say, oh my, or amen. Say something. Say something. And so not everybody's life is pleasing to God. And then he says, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. In other words, when you live a life that is honorable and pleasing to God, it releases productivity in your life. It accelerates. That's what he's saying here. It will accelerate your productivity in your life. Your life will become fruitful in every way. That's the blessing of God. That's the favor of God, folks. Let me read you another verse of scripture. Psalm 84:11, the Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing will he withhold from those who do what is right. How many of you love the scriptures? Come on now. You know what it doesn't say? It doesn't say the Lord is the one who bestows honor and favor. No good thing will he withhold from those he loves unconditionally. It'd be nice if he said that, wouldn't it? That means favor would be fair. We'd all be getting it, right? We all be getting it. But that's not what he says. He talks about honor and favor, but then he says no good thing will he withhold from those who do what is right. You want the favor of God? Start doing what's right. You want to experience the disfavor of God? Continually, habitually live and do the wrong things, the things that are offensive to God. Because God is the one that bestows honor. He's the one honored. When it says God honors, and maybe next week we're going to talk a little bit about honor and favor, but listen, honor, God honor. When God honors, it means he lifts you up. It means he positions you, he promotes you. That's what it means when God honors us. God bestows the favor and the honor from those. It's conditional. A condition must be met from those who do what is right. And so, you know, we do the same thing. Come on now. You'd be surprised how often you do this when it comes to favor. When we favor someone we delight in. Come on, you know you don't treat everybody the same. We get this crazy idea, right? We get this crazy idea. We become a Christian. And so we get this crazy idea that we have to just show favor to everybody. We treat everybody the same. Not even Jesus treated everybody the same. Not even Jesus treated everybody the same. Come on now. And we get this idea that favor's equal. Favor's not equal. Love is equal, not favor. Favor is not equal. And so when someone pleases us, we delight in them. And when someone treats us well and someone has been proven, their trustworthiness in the relationship that has been proven, they will experience a deeper intimacy with me. Do you see that? Probably the biggest mistake I've made in ministry over the years is I've given people access into my inner circle before their trustworthiness was proven. And see, we get this idea, we become Christians, everybody's my best friend now. I like you all the same. I'll give everybody the same. So it's not like that. Even Jesus had some people that were closer to him than other people. Come on now. Even Jesus didn't give everybody access into his inner circle. Maybe you've never heard things like this. And so this is the truth. And so when somebody treats you well, when somebody honors you, and when somebody pleases you, you will give them access, more access to someone who you don't trust. That's healthy. That is healthy. That is good. That is the way that it's supposed to be. It doesn't mean we don't love everybody unconditionally. We can love everyone unconditionally, but not give everybody access. Access is earned. Access is earned and comes through honor. If there's dishonor, there should be no access. And it's the same way with God. And so God honors and gives access. God gives favor to those who do what is right, to those who walk pleasing unto him. So I'm trying to say it so many different ways. But Jesus, if you look at his life, he loved unconditionally the multitudes, everyone. But he had 12 disciples who had access to his life. They were his inner circle. And can you imagine, I could guarantee you there were other people that were following Jesus in the crowd saying, man, that ain't fair. That is not fair. Like, I'm at every meeting. Like, I mean, they even asked me to help. I helped last meeting, man. I helped. I was setting up chairs last meeting. So that ain't fair that he's got that little clique over there of 12. And now why can't I have access like them? And you know, Jesus didn't really care of people. Believe me, there were a lot of talk going around, okay? A lot of people getting offended. I'm telling you, Jesus did not care. Not everybody's getting access to this circle. And so he goes around and he picks his friends. And he picks 12 that are his close companions. And among the circle of 12, come on, you know the story, there were 3 that he had even greater access than the other 9. And that was Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John had even deeper access to Jesus. And then you got 1 out of the 3 who even had a closer intimacy with Jesus. More privileges and more benefits were bestowed upon him, and that was John. John the Beloved. In fact, John was the only disciple in Scripture that is called the Beloved of the Lord. How about that, man? I mean, how about provoking someone to jealousy? I mean, this one is Beloved of the Lord. You're all cool. You're all my friends. You're all part of the 12, but this one is the Beloved. Somebody say favor ain't fair. Say favor ain't free. Say favor ain't equal. And so when you look at this, you could see that we favor those who treat us well. Let's look at Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. Before honor is humility. So in this verse of Scripture, it says, before one is exalted by the Lord, before favor is bestowed upon someone, God is looking for a posture of honor. Honor is a posture. Honor's a position. Humility. Humility is a posture and a position. And 1 Peter, New Testament, 1 Peter, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. So here's New Testament that is confirming Old Testament. And so the qualification and the posture is humility once again. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and when the time is right, you're going to explode. He's going to lift you up. He's going to lift you up and honor you in the right moments. When everything is in place, you're going to receive the promotion. But what comes first? The posture of humility. So humility is, without getting off on that, it's being honest. It's being humble. It's being dependent on God. It's taking ownership in the things that need to be adjusted in your life and not hiding, being forthright and being honest and being humble before the living God and depending on him for your help. That's humility. Let's look at another verse of Scripture. Isaiah 66:2. These are the ones I look on with favor. Whoa, how about that? These are the ones that I will favor. What speaks to me in that verse is that obviously not everybody's receiving the favor, but he's telling us the ones who are receiving the favor. These are the ones who will receive my favor. Here it is. Those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word. What does that mean, tremble at his word? It means you have such a high regard and respect for the living God that you tremble at his word. You respect when he speaks. You respect what he has to say. You respect how he thinks. and what God says will become part of your life. You will esteem his word above the word of man. You will esteem his word above all else. You will act upon his word and practically apply his word and live it out in a practical manner in your life. That's what it means to tremble at his word. And God says when we honor him this way, in that type of humility and honor, that he will honor and favor us. I want to briefly look at a man in the Bible that is the most incredible picture of favor. And we can learn things from his life. His name is Joseph. And just give me a few minutes as we go over this just a little bit. Joseph was a man who had the force of favor evident in his life. From the very moment you see him in the scriptures, he is marked by the favor of God. No matter his circumstances, it always seemed like, regardless of what was coming against him, regardless of the adversity, it always seemed like at the right moment it would turn around and it would be actually used as a stepping stone into something great. Oftentimes, Joseph's adverse circumstances became a springboard into a new season of his life. And so again, regardless of the attacks that Joseph had upon his life, it always seemed like he rose to the top. And everybody who was in Joseph's environment, you could see this in the scripture, they always recognized that the Lord was with him. And it is very clear in the story that Joseph always maintained a favored heart. Regardless of his current circumstances, he maintained a favored heart. Now, what does that mean? It means that he kept his alignment with God. He kept his integrity and honor intact. Regardless of the hell that was unleashed on his life, you've got to hear this because this is very important. He maintained a favored heart. He kept right with God. He kept his posture of favor. He kept on doing what was right regardless of his circumstances. That speaks a lot about his integrity, and that's why he was favored so much. But the first time in scripture we meet up with Joseph, we see him wearing a coat of many colors. If you know the story, that's the main thing you know about the story. His father made him a coat of many colors. This coat of many colors that Joseph would wear, it was the mark of the honor of the father. Joseph was set apart from the rest of the family. He had the honor of the father beyond what was usually expected. This coat was a coat of many colors because it spoke about him being highly favored. And because he wore this coat, his brothers hated him. They hated that he was the one that got the coat. And each one of the brothers wished that they had that coat of many colors. And the Bible says that they were burning with jealousy and envy towards Joseph. So let me just say this, and I don't want you ever to forget it. This is worth writing down. The proof of favor will always be envy. The proof of favor will always be envy. And what do I mean by that? Once you start getting elevated, and once you start getting promoted, and once you start gaining access, you are going to bear the mark of favor, and you mark it down, you will come under attack. People will hate you, and they will be envious and jealous of you. And this is what was happening in Joseph's life. His brothers envied him. They hated him, and they even plotted how to kill him. That's how bad it got. They conspired against him. One day they stripped him of his coat of many colors and they threw him into a pit. And the Bible said they sat around and they had a meal. They throw him in a deep pit and they sat around and had a meal and they're trying to figure out what they're going to do with him. Some were saying, let's just kill him and do away with him. Others were saying, brothers were saying, let's just leave him to the wild animals. They'll eat him up alive. One piped up and said, no, we are not going to kill him and do this to our fathers. We're not going to come home and say that we killed him or we found him dead. We're not going to have it happen. Long story short, as they're plotting what to do with the favored son, there was a caravan of Ishmaelites that came by that were on their way to Egypt, and Joseph's brothers pulled him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites to be their slave. And the Ishmaelites enter into Egypt, and make a long story short, they ended up selling Joseph as a slave to an official of Pharaoh. His name was Potiphar. So Joseph comes into Potiphar's house as a slave. And I want to read the story to you, verse 2 through 6 of chapter 39. Here's what it says about Joseph in Potiphar's house. The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did. He succeeded in everything that he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything that he did. This pleased Potiphar, so he soon made Joseph his personal attendant. He put him in charge of his entire household and everything he owned. From the day Joseph was put in charge of his master's household and property, the Lord began to bless Potiphar's household for Joseph's sake. All his household affairs ran smoothly, and his crops and livestock flourished. So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibilities. He was Potiphar's administrator of the estate. He had complete responsibility over everything that he owned. With Joseph there, Potiphar didn't worry about anything except what was he going to eat for his meal. And so this is an amazing story, because this man Joseph, regardless of his circumstances, he had the favor of God upon his life, and you could see he was even being fruitful and flourishing, and even Potiphar's house was being blessed for the sake of Joseph. Everything that Joseph did had the mark of God's favor on it. And Potiphar realized, it said, that the favor of God was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. Wasn't before long that the enemy came to attack. And I will say this, just because you have the favor of God upon you does not mean that everything is going to run smoothly. In fact, like I said, if you've got the mark of God's favor, you will come under attack. So you keep your guard up. And so what we see here is absolutely amazing. While Joseph was prospering in Potiphar's house, Potiphar's wife kind of got the hots for Joey, okay? The Bible even said, it tells us specifically, Joseph was a very handsome man. And so Potiphar's wife is coming after Joseph. And she starts lusting after him, and she tries to seduce him into sleeping with her. And she tries to trap him, and she corners her. At one point, she corners him in her bedroom and is twisting his arm and trying to seduce him and manipulate him and coax him to come into bed. And I believe with all of my heart that Joseph really was tempted. To say he wasn't tempted would be a real understatement. I do believe that Joseph was tempted, because he was human. But I also believe that Joseph thought about two things in the heat of his temptation. The first thing I believe he thought of is, what will this cost me if I go to bed with this woman? What is this going to cost me? And I don't believe Joseph was willing. He waited out. He was not willing to jeopardize the good pleasure of God for a fleeting moment of pleasure with Potiphar's wife. The second thing I believe that Joseph thought about in the heat of his temptation that was even more weightier than the first was that Joseph did not want to displease God. And so we can find something out about why the flow of favor was continually upon Joseph. And it's a little secret we have here in the scripture. Oftentimes we overlook it. In the midst of seduction, here's what Joseph said to Potiphar's wife. Look at this. Chapter 38, verse 9. My master Potiphar has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. I want you to look at the next thing he says. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? Now, the way this thing was going when he said this to Potiphar's wife, he said, look it, your master, my master has been so good to me. Your husband has been so good to me. He's given me everything in his household. The only thing he's withheld from me was you, rightfully so. You would have thought that the next thing he would have said would be, how could I do this to my master? Or how could I do this to your husband who has been so good to me? That's not what he said. But he said this, how could I do this to my God? How could I do such an evil thing in the sight of God? And here's the secret that a lot of people look over. That Joseph had a heart that wanted to please God more than he wanted to please man. I believe he wanted to please Potiphar, but God was at the top of his list. And in this moment of temptation, he says, I will not do this thing against God. He kept his integrity. And because he kept his integrity, God will continue to favor him. So the Bible tells us that in that moment, Joseph runs for his life. And what does Potiphar's wife do? She immediately begins to scream. She begins to yell. She begins to kick the floor to get the attention of the other servants in the house, until everybody started to run into the master bedroom. And once they all got there, because Potiphar's wife could not seduce Joseph, because she could not get from Joseph what she deeply desired, now she starts to lie about him. She falsely accuses him. She says, this man tried to rape me. We should have never brought this man into the house. He's not a man of integrity. You cannot trust him. He cornered me in the bedroom. He's been trying to sleep with me since I got into this house. He's an evil man. He's a wicked man. And the witch begins to slander. And the witch begins to attack his character and make up lies about him. And the witch is actually accusing him of doing what she was trying to do to him. And flips the whole script and starts twisting the whole thing and making him to be the evil one. And so when you look at this, you could see the two major attacks in Joseph's life was jealousy and false accusations. Jealousy from the people that were the closest to him, his family, and false accusations from those who were in proximity to Joseph and in his environment. False accusations and slander. And I'm telling you, this is something to really pay attention to. So Potiphar comes home, throws him in the dungeon, but Joseph never compromises his heart. Once again, he's in prison now. In prison. I mean, he goes from the pit to Potiphar's house, second in command. Now he's back in prison. And he never compromised his posture of favor. So you got to keep on seeing this. No matter his circumstances, whatever happens in his life, he never compromises or relaxes his posture of favor. He kept his heart intact with the living God. He still walked in ways that were pleasing to God, regardless of his circumstances. And while in prison, in the dungeon, we see the favor of God manifesting on the boy Joseph to rise to the top once again. In the dungeon. I want to read it to you. Look at it very quickly. Chapter 39, 21. But the Lord was with Joseph in the prison, showed him his kindness, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. He's in prison. And now the prison warden shows Joseph favor. Let me just say this, because this is very important. Once you have favor in the eyes of God, God will give you favor in the eyes of man. And this is exactly what's happening in the scripture. I'm not saying the most important thing in life is to run after favor from man. Your most important thing in his life is to seek after the favor of God. Once you find favor in the eyes of God, God will give you favor in the eyes of man. And it reminds me of Luke chapter 2 when it says that Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with both God and with man. Jesus had favor with God, and because he had favor with God, he had favor with man. And I'm not saying that you got to have favor with every man. You will never have favor with anyone. You just need the right one to have favor with. You don't have to have favor with 100 people. You just need the right one to show you favor. And when you walk in such a way that you catch God's attention and God shows a liking and a special interest and God bestows his goodwill upon you and he showers you with his favor, you will find favor with the right one who can open the door and change your life forever. It takes one connection. It takes one moment. It takes one conversation for your life to change forever. And so get this. Joseph is in prison. Oh, let's read the rest of the verse. And the keeper of the prison, the warden, committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was Joseph's doing. He was in charge of all the prisoners. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority. That's how much he trusted Joseph. Because the Lord was with him, there it is again. And whatever Joseph did, the Lord made it to prosper. So it does not matter your position in life. It does not matter your circumstances. It does not matter where you're located. When the hand and favor of God is upon you, things are going to start shifting. Things are going to start changing. You will prosper even in the dungeon, even in prison. Come on now. Now, let me just close with this. Just stay with me. In the dungeon, among the prisoners, there were two that were there, were prisoners. There were two of the king's officials. One was the chief baker, and one was the chief butler. Without getting into too much of the story, it's in chapter 41. Both of them one night had a dream. And Joseph saw in the morning that they were really distraught, and they were talking about their dreams. And Joseph interpreted both of their dreams. Again, we can't get into it. Make a long story short. He said to the baker, your dream means that you're going to be hung for your crime. You're going to be hanged for your crime. You're going to die. You're toast. When he got to the butler, he said to the butler, your dream is interpreted. God gave me the interpretation. It means that you are going to be restored back to the king's palace in that place in the inner circle of the king. But Joseph said to the butler, when you're restored, please put in a good word for me. I mean, gosh, I'm here. I don't deserve to be here. Just remember me, Joseph said. Remember me before Pharaoh and put in a good word to the king. Get me out of here. And so the butler gets restored. He's back into the kingdom. And the Bible says he forgets all about Joseph. The scriptures indicate, if you read the scriptures, he's there for about 2 more years. In the dungeon, until one day, King Pharaoh had a dream in the middle of the night. He wakes up in the morning and he calls for all of his interpreters and all of his, enchanters. Nobody could interpret the dream, and it made him very frustrated. And the butler saw his frustration. And Pharaoh said, I have nobody to interpret my dream. And the butler, the Bible says, remembered Joseph. And the butler said, I know a man who I was in prison with, and God is with this man, and he will interpret your dream. And the Bible tells us that Pharaoh called for Joseph. Joseph shaved his beard, put on clean clothing, and he had access to the king. And Joseph interpreted the dream of King Pharaoh. When all was said and done, Pharaoh promoted Joseph, this young Hebrew boy, to second in command over his entire kingdom. Now, if you start looking at this, I mean, this is how favor works. It might not work this extreme and this extravagant in your life, but this is how it works. Favor works like this, and it's amazing. Favor can do what no man could do. Humanly speaking, something like this would have been absolutely impossible. This would never happen on a human plane. But this was the divine favor of God, and it changed his life in a moment. In one moment, he is launched into a new season in his life. In one moment, the favor of God's bestowed upon him, and he goes from the prison to the palace in just a minute. Everything changed. This day, his whole life changed for one reason. The favor of God was upon him. And if you examine the whole text and look at it, it was one conversation. One conversation. It started out with one connection in the dungeon. He had a connection with one person called the butler. And the butler has one conversation with the king. And after one connection and one conversation, he was launched into a whole new realm in his life. He was never the same again. Not only that, but a whole nation, when you read the story, a whole nation was preserved because God was with this man. And out of the nation of Israel comes Messiah Jesus, all because one man walked pleasing unto the Lord and had the good pleasures of God bestowed upon him. Not only was his life changed, Potiphar's household was changed, Pharaoh's kingdom was changed, a whole nation was preserved. Favor not only affects your life, but it affects the life of everybody connected to you. Can somebody say amen? My God, give me your favor, God. Now, we're almost done right here. I want you to notice this, and we're closing right here. Joseph was never first in command. In prison, he was second in command. Under the jailkeeper, he wasn't first in command. In Potiphar's household, he was never first in command. He was second in command. In Pharaoh's kingdom, he was never first in command, never got to be first in command, always in second command. What does that tell me? Your position has nothing to do with your favor. Sometimes we think, unless I become the CEO, unless I get the top spot, unless I get the highest paid position, I really don't have the favor of God. No, no, you don't need to be first in command. It doesn't matter where your station is in life. If you got the favor of God, something's gonna happen. You're gonna have the honor. You're gonna have the access. People are gonna know the blessing of God is upon you. It's gonna be evident that the Lord is with that person. The favor of God really has nothing to do with where you're positioned in life, but wherever you are, you're gonna have the blessing of God upon your life. You're gonna get the access. You're gonna have the opportunities. You're gonna get the blessings. They're gonna flow to your life when you have God's favor. I want you to stand to your feet. We're gonna close in prayer. Hallelujah. The principle of favor is that favor elevates, favor blesses, favor opens doors, favor gives access, favor promotes, favor launches you into new seasons. Come on, lift up your hands to heaven right now. Father, we honor you and bless you. Teach us something today, God. God, just teach us to seek after your favor, God, with all of our hearts. Lord, we desperately need your hand and your favor. And it's not mysterious and it's not random. We want to walk in ways that are pleasing unto you, Father. Forgive us, Lord, for disregarding you. Forgive us, Lord, for being indifferent towards you. Forgive us for the many ways, Lord, that we've not considered you in the equation of our life. Lord, we don't want your disfavor. We want your goodwill. We want your kindness. We want your blessing. We want your favor. Oh God, we want you to be the most important person in our life. We want to treasure you more than anyone. We want to esteem your word more than the word of man. We want to please you more than we want to please man. Lord, help us and help us to be aligned to your blessing and to your favor. Lord, we need your favor. We don't ever want to disregard your favor, God. Lord, teach us how to tremble at your word. Teach us how to walk honorably before you. We love you, we bless you, and we worship you. And like David said, we seek after your favor with all of our hearts, God. Oh God, we love you, we bless you. Help us, Lord, to walk in the posture of favor. Not only that it will affect our life, but the life of those attached to us. We honor you today. We bless you today, and we worship you today. In the mighty name of Jesus, the Christ and the Messiah. Amen and amen. Give Jesus a hand. Come on. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Here's what I want to do as we're dismissing everybody. We're going to open up the altar. If you have a prayer request, come and present your prayer request. There'll be some prayer workers up here. Can we have our prayer workers up here right now? And if you have a prayer request and you need somebody to agree with you in prayer, come on up to the altar. Somebody will pray for you. Please don't give your whole life story. This is just present your prayer request and let somebody join their faith with you and let God answer your prayer. So come on up. My team, come on up here right now, please.